So it gives me a great deal of pleasure to present to you this afternoon Father Joseph C. Martin.
First of all, I do not know whether word has gotten to you or not, but a very short while ago it came over the news that the Holy Father, the Pope, has been shot over in Rome, so I'd ask you to keep him in your prayers, please. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was in a Midwestern state, and it was just about this time of day, and I had finished this particular talk that I'm about to share with you, and I was visiting with some students afterwards. And a young girl, I think she's in second year high school, came up to me crying. She told me she was an alcoholic, and she had been sober only about 2 weeks. And she was experiencing a very serious, almost overwhelming desire to drink. She said her boyfriend had come over the night before and spent some time with her, and she got over that hump, but the tears were just spilling out of her because her parents would not allow her to go to AA meetings. Oddly enough, the year before, this girl's 17-year-old brother committed suicide because those same parents would not allow him to go into treatment for drug addiction. I mention that because it shows some of the deadly serious repercussions of this disease on those who live with it. And I would suggest that out of a crowd this size, just sheer statistic, just law of averages, 20 to 25% of you know an alcoholic very well indeed. You probably live with one. This disease is so widespread. The government itself in 1968 estimated there were 9 million alcoholics in the country, so obviously some of them live here. You have cried about it, prayed about it, been frustrated about it, been angry about it, and have not known what to do about it. Well, my task this afternoon is not to spell out to you what to do about it. That's for elsewhere and other people to handle at another time. What I'd like to do this afternoon is something a little bit simpler and has to do with you yourselves. First of all, I am not here to try to convince you not to drink. That's not my job. It's not my desire. I am not here to try to convince you to drink. That's your business, not mine. The only thing I'd like to do is to tell you what you drink when you drink alcohol and simply tell you to be careful or to use it with common sense. We who are privileged to work in alcoholism have two jobs to do. Number one is to get sick people well, to pick up the bodies at the bottom of the cliff and patch them up. And alcoholics can and do get well where treatment is good. And there are treatment centers. Lord, we're 25 years ahead of other countries. We have a little over 4,000 treatment centers for this disease right here in the States. And where the treatment is proper, somewhere between 60-80% get well. The recovery rate is excellent. It's really good. But another job that professionals have to do is try to build a fence around the top of the cliff to prevent others from falling off. Now, right in the beginning, there is no such thing as a guarantee that people will not contract this disease. But I believe this, that if a drinker will use instead of abuse this substance, he lessens the risk. And that's all I'd like to present to you today. Alcohol by itself, chemically, is a sedative drug. We just finished with Easter and Holy Week. You remember when Christ was dying on the cross and he cried out, one of the Roman soldiers took a spear, put a sponge on the end of it, and dipped it into cheap wine. Cheap wine into which they mixed another drug called myrrh was standard equipment with Roman soldiers that had to execute people. And it was a simple painkiller. It was offered to him as an act of simple human kindness to relieve his pain. Because by chemical nature, alcohol is a sedative drug. And also by nature, it is addictive. Now, five people drink one becomes alcoholic or addicted to that drug. Now, the only thing I'd like to tell you today is most of you will probably drink alcoholic beverages sometime in your life. I am not saying you'll catch the disease. I'm not saying you won't catch the disease. All I'm saying is it's like dynamite. It's a wonderful thing, but it's dangerous. Automobiles are magnificent things, but they're dangerous. Skis are wonderful, but they're dangerous. So you take dangerous things and use them carefully, that's all. That's all I want. It'll save you bad alcohol. Now, the decisions that you make about your life are your business. And it isn't that I don't care. As a, number one, as a human being, number two, as a priest, I obviously care about you. But as individuals, I don't know you. I don't know you. And chances are that in the future, only a handful of us will ever meet again. I may come back here sometime in the future and meet up with one or two of you, and that's probably as the way that it is. So your life, all other things being equal, won't touch mine. So you will not make any decisions to please or displease me. It has nothing to do with me. My young friends, I happen to be an alcoholic. I can't drink, so I don't. My decisions are made. My decisions are made 23 years ago. But yours have yet to be made. And the only thing I'm asking you to do is look at what it is, look at what you are, and make your own decisions. All right, now what are the decisions? The first one, obviously, is the big one, whether you're going to drink or not. Let's, just briefly, we'll go into people who have chosen not to drink, and it's for everybody's benefit for this reason. Sometime, either now when you have your parties or later on when you're married and you entertain people in your home, you are going to offer people drinks. And some will say to you, no thanks. Let it drop right there. And this is the reason. I'm going now to give you the reasons why a lot of people don't drink alcohol. And I'm going to ask you to listen to them, so that whenever anyone says no thanks to you, just leave them alone. They don't have to explain to you the reasons. I'm going to. Number one is alcoholism. Now, like hundreds of thousands of other people in this country and around the world, I happen to have the disease. Now, there's no cure. You arrest it or you stop it by abstinence. But the disease can be reactivated by a drink. I know some alcoholics who have died drunk because they failed to read the labels on cough syrups that contained alcohol that they didn't realize. It reactivated their disease, the compulsion set in, and they were gone. And this is not unusual. When an alcoholic drinks again, let's say after a long period of sobriety, he does not pick up where he left off. He picks up where he would have been if he had been drinking all that time. And that's the baffling mystery of alcoholism. It progresses whether you drink or not. So one big reason why some people don't drink is they're allergic to it. When they drink compulsively. And if they do that, the ultimate end is death. All right. The second reason is religious. Some religions teach that drinking is immoral. You should not drink. Now, I'm not saying that belief is right, and I'm not saying that belief is wrong. We won't even go into it. What I am saying is that it's there. Some people do believe that. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. About 8 years ago, my boss, the Archbishop of Baltimore, gave me permission to live with a family so that I can function the way I do. So I live with a couple, Tommy and May Abraham, down in Maryland. May, the mother, handles all of my work. Now, May also is recovered. Her background, she is the daughter of a Baptist minister. Now, I never met her dad. He's a magnificent man, but he's dead now. He died some years ago. There were 11 children in May's family, and 10 of them became alcoholics. And neither parent drank. Neither parent drank. May never tasted alcohol. She's 26 years old. Now, that's 100%. Her sister, Pat, who handles the books and everything at home, Pat has never had a drink, and she says, I'd be crazy to try. 10 brothers and sisters. Now, 2 are dead, and of the other 8 alcoholics, 7, thank God, are sober. She has one brother who is still literally killing himself. We hope someday he'll respond. All right. When May drank, she drank with guilt because of that religious belief. So some religions teach that drinking is wrong. Leave them alone. Third reason is fear. And I feel absolutely certain that a lot of you who drink, simply because of alcoholism in your family, you're scared to death of what might happen, but you're also scared to death to say no. Let's say here's a fellow, both of whose parents, let's say, are alcoholics, and he has one brother who is an alcoholic. He's afraid of it. But he doesn't have to tell you that. I remember one time I was telling another crowd, when I was a seminarian, we were up in Providence, Rhode Island, and there was a fellow who was a year ahead of me. We went to an amusement park one afternoon, and there was a roller coaster there, and we said, come on, Eddie, get on the roller coaster with us. He said, no, not really, I'm afraid of him. Oh, come on. He said, I am scared to death of roller coasters. Well, we persuaded him to get on, and I saw terror in a human face for the first time. He was scared to death of that thing. And yet, he kind of gave in because we pressured him to get on it. But I'll tell you what, I was really embarrassed that I had been a part of kid. If he had dropped dead of a heart attack, it would not have surprised any of us. It took him a long while to get over that thing. So just be careful of forcing people to do things they're afraid of. Now, there's another kind of fear. Some people are afraid because there's alcoholism in the family and it might happen to them. I met an Irishman out in San Francisco some time ago. He was about 65 years old. And we were at some home for dinner around the holidays, and somebody said, would you have a cocktail? He said, no thanks, I don't drink. And somebody said, well, why not? Now, listen to the reply. To me, this is the fear that you find in mature people. He said, no, I'd rather not. I know me. He said, I know me. And I know how I would probably drink if I started. I just don't care to stick my head into the lion's mouth, thank you. And he had a coffee or Coke or something. And the last reason is some people just don't like it. Now, you know how you squeal and scream when somebody wants you to wear clothes you don't like or to eat food that you don't like? Well, why try to cram down somebody's throat something liquid that they don't like? Some people don't like booze. Leave them alone. Just leave them alone. I met a young girl in Los Angeles some years ago. She's in her first year of college. She went to a junior college in San Diego. She made this statement. Listen to it. She said, there are 126 students in our class. One does not drink. One. It's a girl, and she says, nobody will make me. Now listen to the end of it. She says, and she ruins it all by condemning those who do. Now, there are some of us in this room that don't drink. I'm one of them. I'm sure there are a few others over here that just don't drink alcohol for whatever your reason is. You either have the problem, you don't like it, you're afraid of it, or your religion militates against you. Now, I feel certain that you want, as I do, you want people to respect that decision. Fine, you have a right to that. You have a right to have your decision to not drink respected. But you know, live and let live, you have to respect the rights of those who have chosen to drink. Now, for those of you who either do or are thinking about it or who probably will drink, I would like to suggest three areas in which you are going to have to make major decisions. You are, not your parents, not your classmates, most certainly not me. And you should not make any decisions to please or displease anybody else, just yourself. It's the type of beverages you're going to drink, how much you're going to drink, and the times or when you're going to drink it. Now, you know as well as I do, there are differences in drinks. Beer, 5% alcohol. Wine, up to 22% alcohol, and the so-called hard stuff, up to and above even 50% alcohol. Now see if this doesn't make sense to you. Here's a young fellow, he's, I don't know, 15 years old. He said, I'm a pretty good person, I'm a decent student, I'm a good athlete. But he said, my dad's an alcoholic, and it just drives me crazy, and I'm a little bit afraid it might happen to me, but God, I can't go through life cringing in front of dangerous things. I have a cousin who drowned, but I intend to swim. And one of my closest friends was killed in an automobile wreck, but I certainly intend to drive. And even though alcoholism is in the family, and there might be a chance that I'll catch it, I still think that I'm going to enjoy everything that God has put on this earth, including alcohol, but I think I'm going to take a few precautions. I believe that I'll just drink maybe beer and wine on occasions and just leave that hard stuff alone. Now, please don't mistake what I'm saying. I am not saying that he won't get into trouble or that he will. And I'm not saying that drinking beer instead of whiskey is going to change anything. It's just that he's drinking a beverage that contains less of the dangerous substance, and the only thing he's doing is lessening the risk. Whether he will or won't's neither here nor there. Number two is how much. Now, you make your decision. If you've got any sense, if you've got a brain in your head, what you do is make a decision that on any given 24-hour period, you will not consume more than such and such an amount of alcohol. And I'm going to leave that to you just like that. Now, does this make sense? Very few people eat until they get sick to their stomachs, but a whole lot of you drink that way. And it just doesn't make any sense at all. Makes no sense at all.